On this active day of Christmas, we celebrate a solemn feast in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary under her greatest title, Mother of God. I can just see some of our non-Catholic friends rolling their eyes and saying, oh, those Catholics, they just can't control themselves. They just want to say more and more extravagant things in praise of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so finally, they come up with this, calling her even Mother of God. In point of fact, this greatest title of the Blessed Virgin Mary is also one of her oldest ones. It is not the process of a long development of Marian piety that, you know, maybe reached its zenith in the high Middle Ages or something like that. This title of Mary as the Mother of God was solemnly confirmed by the Council of Ephesus in the year 431. That's the same Ephesus where the Ephesians lived, that St. Paul wrote one of his letters to. That would have been about 350 years before that, of course. But it was a council at Ephesus that solemnly proclaimed this title. Really, the council was in Greek, so it was not the English words Mother of God. It was the Greek word Theotokos, which means God-bearer, she who bore God. It was the Council of Ephesus that formally affirmed that title to the Blessed Virgin Mary. The council did not invent that title. It had already been used for probably at least a century. But it was a disputed title. It's not just our contemporary Protestant friends who would find that language extravagant. There was a bishop in the 5th century named Nestorius who was likewise troubled by it. And he said, I do not like so much this title, Theotokos. I would prefer Christotokos, bearer of Christ, she who gave birth to the Messiah, to the anointed, the Christ. Nothing wrong with calling Mary Mother of Christ, of course. That's also true. The problem was Nestorius wanted to deny that title, Mother of God, and proposed the title Mother of Christ on the theory that Mary was the mother of the human nature of Jesus, to which his divine nature was united. But Nestorius's proposal was Mary gave birth to only the human nature. That way, we don't have to talk about her as Mother of God, which makes it sound like she precedes God in some way, or that God the Son, draws his existence from her. Of course, that was never what was intended. The only begotten Son of the Father existed from all eternity, took flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. But Nestorius thought that language, Mother of God, was too much reducing the divine Son to be subject to human birth. So the Council of Ephesus condemned Nestorius and said that is an improper objection, because the Blessed Virgin Mary did not give birth to a nature. She gave birth to a person. That person was a divine person, the true Son of God, who had both a divine nature and a human nature that he took from his mother, the latter, the human nature he took from his mother. What was really at stake was not the veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was the identity of the Lord Jesus, that he was a single person, a true person. Nestorius wanted to save the divinity of the Lord from being involved with having a human mother. But if Nestorius wanted to save the divine nature of the Lord from that, his divine person from that, very soon someone would want to save his divine identity from dying on the cross as well. The proposal would surely be made that it was only the Lord's human nature that was sacrificed on the cross, in which case it was not an infinite sacrifice, in which case the Father did not really sacrifice his Son. It was only the human nature associated with the divine Son of God that was sacrificed on the cross. And so the Christian message really falls apart. If the Lord in his divine nature did not really take flesh to be born, to work, to suffer, to die, and to rise as a person. This title of Mary as the Mother of God, in fact, does not only go back to the Council of Ephesus or 100 years before that. It is found in sacred scripture as well. It was contained in the readings that we heard for the Mass today. It did go by very, very quickly, so you might have missed it. But in these words from today's epistle, the mystery of this feast is contained. God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom from the law, etc. But just those eight words, God sent his Son, his true Son, his divine Son, his co-eternal Son, the only begotten Son, born of a woman. It's because the true Son of God, God the Son, was born of a woman that we call Mary, the Mother of God. Of course, the Holy Trinity existed from all eternity. Mary did not exist until her conception in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. But she truly bore the Lord Jesus. And that second reading is also important because St. Paul goes on to talk about the adoption that we receive as true children of God. If Mary had given birth only to the human nature of the Lord and his divine nature and his divine person were distinct from that, were kept separate from that, then the whole mystery of our redemption, in which he became one like us so that he might give us a share in his divine nature, that all falls apart. If Mary was not the mother of the divine person of the Lord, then he did not really come as one like us. He did not really come to share our human nature so that he could give us a share in his divine one. His act of redemption would be at arm's length. He would have done something great for us, for sure. He could have given us a legal acquittal for the punishment due our sins. But that mystery of intimate union, of him becoming one like us so that we could become one like him, that works only when the mystery of the incarnation is fully appreciated. The divine Son of God was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary that we might be born again bearing his own divine nature. That's the teaching of the faith, that when sanctifying grace dwells in our souls, that is the divine life itself. That is the life of the risen Lord, his divine and eternal life, his risen life dwelling in us. So today, we give thanks to the Lord for the mystery of his incarnation that we celebrated with great festivity just 1 week ago. It is reaffirmed today on this feast, celebrating Mary as the Mother of God. And we're reminded today that she who was the true Mother of God is also the true Mother of all who are given a share in his divine nature. She is the Mother of Christians, the Mother of the Church. So we rejoice today to celebrate this feast in her honor and to entrust this new civil year that we begin today to her intercession.